Psalm 121, please. Let's all stand. Psalm 121. Several weeks ago, I spoke on the first two verses as an introduction to these Psalms. Can I say to everybody that's here this morning, if you did not hear that Sunday morning or that Sunday night, please listen online. Friends, if you do not have control, look, everyone look at me. If you do not have control of that internal conversation, you will never go any place in the Christian life. And it's found throughout all of the Psalms, where the psalmist knows how to take charge of his own mind and thoughts and speak to himself truth. Now, I'm not going to speak on that this morning. I'm going to finish this psalm because I like it. It is a psalm of great comfort on the journey. So let's read together. I'll read out loud. You read along silently with me. The psalmist says this, a song of degrees, meaning as the people of God went up to Jerusalem from the various locations. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. Well, my help cometh, there's where he's speaking to himself, my help cometh from the Lord. And who is the Lord? He's the one that made heaven and earth, which means nothing on earth is outside of his control. My friend, if he is the creator, then he is sovereign over it. Then the psalmist starts breaking this down, what this help looks like. He is our helper, and he breaks down what this help is going to look like in our own journeys. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, meaning ultimate evil. Bad things can happen, but not ultimate evil. And he shall preserve thy soul, that which makes you up. Otherwise, you're the very center of you. He's going to keep you, preserve you. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm going to speak this morning on help for the journey. Let's pray together. Father, we have had, many of us, a beautiful week. A week of probably too much food, lots of good food. Hopefully some fellowship with other believers and some time with family. All of the most beautiful and good and right things to do. But today, Lord, we're back here on Sunday. It's the time to gather together and to recognize we're actually going someplace. We're marching to Zion. Whether that is right now standing before the heavenly Jerusalem in Hebrews 12, or the New Jerusalem, or not the New Jerusalem, the, again, heavenly Jerusalem of Galatians 4, or one day in the future, the New Jerusalem. We're going places. And Father, we most assuredly need help on the journey because we're going to run into things that are difficult. Help me this morning to share very precious truths from this text. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's a long winter trip. The temperature is sub-zero. Snow is on the ground and it's snowing. And the trip is a long trip. What do you bring for your long trip? If you're a teenager, Tupper. Are you still a teenager? what's your age? Are you 20? You're still 19. By the way, when I wrote this, I thought of him, just so everybody knows. On this long trip in a snowstorm, in sub-zero weather, what would Anderson Tupper bring? The answer is nothing, not even a coat. You say, why? Because he's a man. Young men are not afraid of anything. What would you bring if you have young children? Well, you would bring coats, hats, gloves, boots, blankets, water, food, snacks, full tank of gas. What if you're afraid? Well, you would plan on the trip and finally take the trip in July. What if you're old? Can I say this, Tupper? You know what old people, who said it? Old people just skip the trip. They're not going. But friend, here's our problem. We're on a journey. We're on a trip. We have to. We don't really have a choice. Unless you just want to die and go to heaven today, you're going someplace. So this text teaches us kind of what's the help we have for the journey ahead of us. By the way, in Acts chapter 2, we know people that journeyed to Jerusalem from as far east as Parthia. Parthia would be 1,300 to 1,400 miles away, and they had to come there by walking or by some kind of beast of burden. How long would it take to go to Jerusalem 1,300, 1,400 miles away by walking? The answer is I don't know. But I do know this. People came to Jerusalem. What did they bring? Well, I'm sure they had food, they had water, they had money or something to trade, they had clothing. They came with a caravan. They probably had weapons. But then there were the bandits. And then there were the tax collectors collecting tolls. So this text and the psalmist refers to the fact, look at verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes, but we're pretty sure that's kind of like, I'm looking around thinking about what could go wrong. By the way, the moment you think about what could go wrong, you stay at home. Yes? That's kind of the nature of humans. It's like, he's kind of like, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. And then he answers himself in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So I'm going to say this, and I just say it, then we're going to look at the next text. God is our help. He is the only help we have. It's not like I can get some other things organized to solve all the problems that I'm going to face. I don't know the problems I'm going to face, but along the way, our help, and the psalmist says it, my help is in the Lord. It's the Lord that is our helper. So may I say it this way, if you know God, you know help. If you have God, you have help. If you don't know God, you don't know help. If you don't have God, you won't have help. The help is found in the Lord. Now we look at verse 3 with me, please. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. Friend, how do you know you're human? All right, let's ask a simple question. How do you know you're not God? This is deep. This is deep. God doesn't sleep. Do you need to sleep? God doesn't need to sleep, and God doesn't sleep. By the way, humans sleep. Humans must sleep. And every human must sleep about, are you all ready? 1/3 of their life. About 8 hours a day. I know I'm not going to, I already feel blowback because when you preach, you get blowback on the weirdest things. So I'll just head you off at the pass. I know some people only get 3 hours and 12 minutes sleep a day. Everybody sleeps about 8 hours. You might not sleep in the bed. You might sleep in the bus, in your chair, on your couch. in your car, at work, or best of all, at church. Everybody sleeps 8 hours. Humans must sleep. Fact is, humans cannot not sleep. Humans fail mentally and then physically without sleep. One form of torture is not allowing people to sleep or letting them start to dip off and then waking them up. You can destroy a person's mind. Humans talk a lot. Have you ever noticed this, how much we talk about sleep? How about this one? Humans complain about and not getting enough sleep. Well, I'm not getting any reaction. Have you ever listened to people's conversations? Half of them are about sleep. I'm tired. I didn't sleep well last night. By the way, yes, we talk about sleep. We complain about sleep. And many humans struggle to sleep. Some struggle because of pain or physical issues. Some struggle because of sin. And by the way, I've been there when you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about something stupid you did and wonder why you did it, and it's your own sin and guilt keeping you awake. Some people struggle to sleep because their husband... I'm not going to give you the English word. I'm going to give you the Greek word. Are you ready? And the poor wife cannot sleep because the husband sounds something like a combination of a truck, a train, and a chainsaw. Now, if he only would get a CPAP machine that fit on his nose where he stopped snoring, but no. Some people struggle to sleep because of certain physical problems, some because of sin, some because usually it's the husband, not always. And can I say this to you? And many people struggle to sleep because of fear. Fear dominates many people's lives. I'm going to read a poem. By the way, it's a dangerous thing to read a poem in this church because it's a cultural thing that comes from, for all of you old timers, nobody in here had it. It comes from the New England Primer. And I don't know where I learned it except at home. Are you ready? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord. Can I tell you something? Cliff, you ever heard that in your life? Do you understand that was part and parcel of our whole culture? That was the first thing I learned to pray before I got saved. And you know what it's based on? Look here, fear. Children are afraid to go to bed and they fear going to sleep because something bad might happen. So you teach them this prayer that the Lord will keep them. And by the way, that's a beautiful thought. Can I say something to you? Humans sleep. So how does the Lord help us in our journey? Number one, are you ready? We can sleep because he doesn't sleep. And let me say this, if you don't know him, going to sleep is a scary thing because you are totally helpless. You don't know what's going to happen. And the whole psalm starts with, listen, we can sleep because our Lord never sleeps. And by the way, friend, I don't care who you are, you and I sleep. And many people struggle with fear their whole life. Verse 1, look at it again. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalm 3, verse 5 said, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Friend, we can sleep because he doesn't sleep. Yes, you and I will sleep. You and I have to sleep. You and I might be afraid to sleep.
Have you ever met someone that has insomnia? Very rarely do they ever get past that. They can't ever figure out what it is. But I'm going to say this. For many people, do you know the Lord? Because it's the Lord that never slumbers, that gives us the ability to rest in Him. We rest in Him. Because He doesn't sleep, we can sleep.
I grew up, can I say this? I did not grow up in a military family in one sense. My father wasn't a 20-year guy. But I grew up with military people. It's just part of the blood of where I grew up. Everybody, for as far back as I can go, and especially World War II, everybody that was older than me had fought in World War II. So being in the military was part of my life. 1975, I joined the United States Navy. Come on, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Cliff. Louis slumbering over there. But, for the rest of you, come on. Come on. Where's this? Robert, what's wrong with you back there? Please. Now, friends, I grew up in that military background. And Dad didn't sit down and let me teach you about the military. You just heard all the conversation constantly about the wars and all of that. I still remember I'm in boot camp in Orlando, Florida, and our new company commander, which is what they called him then, I don't know what they call him now, he was an E6, he was a first class, his name was Rogers. He came in and assigned us watch. What do they call that in the Marine Corps, Mike? You call it watch? They said something else in the Army, I think. But anyhow, whatever it is, otherwise, here's what it was, friend, no joke. Watch was this, from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. By the way, what are you doing at 2 a.m., 6 a.m.? 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., I got the privilege of standing my first watch, and we were in a barracks, three floors up, and there was nobody on the second or the first floor, so I had the privilege of guarding the stairway from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. and the second floor. You say, who was there? Nobody. But I remember Company Commander Moore saying, gentlemen, when you're on watch, you do not. Have you ever tried to stay up at 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. and it's dark? The only thing you have is you see exit signs like over there. There's these little signs. It's dark. So what I did was I still remember walking back and forth. I'd walk one end, cross over, walk back the next, walk over, cross over. But somebody, probably Company Commander Morris, had taken a chair and put it right in the corner where you could sit in that chair, lean back, and take yourself a little. Now, I'm not exaggerating nor lying, but in the back of my mind, my father, he would say, in Korea and World War II, if you got caught sleeping on watch, they shot you. Now, I don't know if they'd have shot me in boot camp, but in the back of my mind, you don't sleep on watch. Folks, it was fine at 2 a.m. About 4:30 a.m., I've been down there 2.5 hours in a dark room, and I start looking, thinking, I think I could take a little nap. I think I could sit in that corner, lean back, and if someone walked in, I'd hear them, and I could wake up. Are you all listening to me? What am I doing? I'm being human. I still remember, you say, did you do it? No, I didn't. But I debated it in my mind as I circled around. Sometimes I would go back into the shower area just to go to a new area. Then I'd walk up the steps, and then I'd walk back. And after a while, it was probably 5:30 in the morning, maybe 5. I'm looking at that thing, and I'm still thinking to myself, it wouldn't hurt to do 30 minutes. And as I was walking around way over in the corner, I saw a little glow. It did this. It kind of did this. I'm like, what? And I was way over in one corner, and it was way from the other corner. I'm like, what is that? You know what it was? It was a cigarette from Company Commander Rogers, and he was seeing if I was sleeping. Now, friend, look at me. Can I tell you something? God never gets in the corner and takes a nap. Do you know the reason I have great comfort in a Christian surviving? Because we can sleep because He doesn't.
He never even wants to take a nap. God never has a debate. Well, it's only Cliff. Who cares about Cliff? Cliff will be okay on his own. I'm taking a nap tonight. No, the Lord never sleeps. He never slumbers. We can sleep because he doesn't sleep. Look, if you would, to 5 and 6.
By the way, if you're a fear-based person, you probably won't hear a thing I'm saying today. You know what? Fear-based people live their whole life based on fear. Their entire existence. By the way, I'd hate to go through life. I'd rather go through life with the Lord, the one who doesn't sleep. Well, look at verse 5 and 6. He adds to this. And by the way, this is just the Lord, our helper. The Lord is our helper. We can sleep because he doesn't sleep. I like this one just as well. It says the Lord, in verse 5, is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And this comes from obviously a desert area where shade is very important. He goes on to say, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. When I read this, my second thought was this. Not only we can sleep because he doesn't sleep. Number two, everybody look at me. I want you to see it.
I got to get something.
Look at me. If the Lord is keeping you, look at me. If the Lord is keeping you,
you can set things down. Here's my principle. We can let go because he holds on. And sadly, there are people in this room that remind me of a person just... And you're like, hey, do you really think you're big enough to hold on anyhow? But if the Lord is keeping us, holding on to us, I can let things down. I can let things go. I can just take a breath because the Lord is helping me by holding on to me. So we can sleep because he doesn't sleep. We can let go because he's holding on. He holds on to us in our circumstances. He protects us. I had the strangest thing happen to me writing this sermon. I don't think I understood my own self very well. I don't know your habits. When I sit down to write, and writing is different for me, I write all the time, and then there's a process where I finish what I'm going to teach, preach, write, that sort of thing. I was finishing this, and this is what I do. I go to my desk upstairs. Only write one place at home. Don't write here because... little children interrupt me here, and some big children too. Anyhow, I went to my desk, got my Bible open. I opened my Bible to Psalm 121. I do the same thing. You know how you just do it all automatically. I have to have glasses, so I put my glasses on, open my Bible to 121. I'm not really a control person, but I'm routine. So I have two pens. I have a black one and a blue one. I open the blue one up, put it here on my ear, open the black one because I write with the black one, I highlight or underline with the blue one, get everything organized, and the next step in my life is this. I bow my head and I pray. And I never noticed it until 2 days ago what I pray. I'm right. Read with me, would you please? Look at verse 1 and 2.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from what? My help cometh from whom? Yes, we can sleep because he doesn't sleep. We can let go. Why? Because he keeps us. He's holding on. So we can let go because folks, I sat down, put my glasses on, opened the passage up to here, put my blue pen here, had my black pen here. I made sure I had plenty of paper. I bowed my head to pray. And the first thing that came out of my mouth silently to the Lord is, Lord, do you know the next two words? Help me. And I was like, no joke, when I prayed that way, I literally did this to myself. Then I realized, you're always asking the Lord,
to help me. And I was praying that the Lord helps me understand the text. The Lord helps me prepare. The Lord helps me preach. The Lord helps me witness. The Lord helps me talk. And I'm starting to realize people that don't even get the idea of praying like that, this is their whole life. And there's no need to preach to them because they're scared to death. Do you not know the Lord? Is the Lord, let me ask you, is the Lord your keeper? Well, do you really think you can keep things better than he can keep things? You see, friend, there has to come a time when we all recognize either the Lord keeps us or we don't get kept. And the Lord is a better keeper than you are or I am. Instinctively, intuitively, I ask the Lord for help. You ask the Lord for help all the time. And this is what I wrote down on my notes. I realized my number one prayer request. By the way, I'm old. I'm not interested in toys, junk, more stuff. But I ask the Lord for help in life. That's my number one prayer request. Because if he, look at me, if he doesn't keep me, you say, Pastor, I'm going to just, oh, friends, you can't hold on to stuff. He can hold on to you. He can keep you. So you can let go of some of your worry and freaking out. I'm not going to say who said this, nor am I going to say who said it about whom. But somebody in this room said to me this last week, that person is a control freak. Every control freak that's ever drawn breath is a person that doesn't understand God is in control, not you. And you try to control everything, good luck. You're going to be trying to hold on. And by the way, after a while, you're trying to hold on to so many things, you can't even pick them up. But my friend, he can pick them up. Yes, I need help. You need help. I cannot do these things alone. Neither can you. God is our helper. We not only can sleep because he doesn't sleep, we can let go in the sense of enjoy our life and do our best, but not try to control the universe and everybody. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Psalm 46:7, the Lord of hosts is with us. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 146:5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 94:17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Psalm 124:8, O, our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 70, verse 1, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Psalm 70, verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help. Psalm 71:12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Psalm 60, verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it shall tread down our enemies. Psalm 40, verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. We've all seen it. And we've all done it. And there is at least one person in this room that I've told many times to stop doing it. You ever go someplace? It can be an airplane. It can be a bus. It can be a train. Or it could be an airplane. And the person brings all their stuff. And they sit in the seat. By the way, what should you do with your stuff? Set it down. What do you do? You'll see people do this. They have all this stuff, they put it on their lap, and they do this. Because I guess they think somehow they, if they have their arms wrapped around the stuff, everything will be okay. Can I tell you the bad news? If a train wreck happens, all that stuff goes flying. My friend, there has to come a time in your life when you realize in the journey of life, the Lord is your helper. Yes, we can sleep because he doesn't sleep, and we can do this. Look at me. What, by the way, what do you tell a person that gets in the car and they got 47 bags and they put them on their lap? Answer the question. What do you tell the person? Put them down, please. By the way, if the car doesn't hold the bags, you're not going to hold them. If the car falls apart, the difference is I'm not resting in a car. I'm resting in the Lord. I don't have to control life. Let me say it this way. I'd never like to talk about being a pastor because you're not a pastor and it's not your job to feel sorry for me. So I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm stating facts. On any given Sunday, 10% of a crowd is mad at me, gossiping and criticizing. By the way, look at me, and I generally know the group. So it isn't like I'm surprised when somebody says, you know so-and-so gossiped about you. Do you think I'm stupid? I guess so. By the way, 10% of people want to move someplace. In this church, it's usually 30. We want to go someplace other than where we're at. How do I know this? This is every pastor, every friend of mine, with exception of one or two that are in weird places, everybody in the church, a third of the people want to go someplace. Can I ask you a question? The pastor then wants to commit suicide because how do I control all of the stupid? Here's my solution. I don't control the stupid. God does. If I tried to control people, it would drive me crazy. And two or three results, you find pastors just always, I think there used to be a pastor here like that. But some of you don't get it. I can't control people's stupidity. I can't control people's sins. I can't control people's decisions. I can't control people's life. And here I'm supposed to be pastoring and leading a church. I actually have to do what I preach. Well, imagine that. Why would I ever do what I preach? Look at me. Let's read the text again. Start in verse 3, would you please? Let's see if you can pick up on what the text is about. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not take a nap. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We can sleep because God doesn't sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Wow. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Friend, there has to come a place where not only we can rest because he doesn't, we can sleep because he doesn't, we can let go. Because he's holding on. He's the one keeping us. We're not keeping him. He is the sovereign God that can keep us. Hold your hand here and let's look at a text. I want to read it this morning, John chapter 10. Would you please? John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. Now, as a pastor, so all of you know, when I see somebody being stupid, please look at me, everyone. And when I see someone being stupid in our church, listen to me. Does it bother me? Yes. And I start having problems every time I try to control things. I want you to understand something. If I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, in God's providence, not only in salvation, but in every piece of life, I would not be a pastor. So you're going to read one of my favorite verses, John 10:28. But I want to share something with you first. And one person in this room can testify to its truth. This woman over here. Are you all ready? Yes or no? We bought a house here, 1996. The woman that sold us the house was a religious person, probably a believer of the Arminian persuasion. She believed you could lose your salvation. Nice enough lady. She said something to me that still to this day, she said something to this effect. She said, "You're very busy at that church keeping those people saved." I would not be a pastor for 5 seconds if I had to keep anybody. I would shoot myself in the head twice. Because frankly, friends, people make stupid decisions, sinful decisions, dumb decisions, all kinds of choices, and they look at me like, "Pastor, you're stupid." Okay. So my only hope is in the Lord. I have to let go in my own life because, frankly, I cannot hold on to things. Yes, it bothers me. And Tim, you get the brunt of this. And it's always the brunt of it when people are bothering me. When I'm trying to sometimes I want to take people by the throat and throttle them. Let me say one thing. No criticism. It's not even about you. You're not the first person I pastored. And you're not the only people that make stupid decisions. I've been doing this since 1988. And I've seen a lot of stupid. What are you going to do? I pray. I preach. I teach. I befriend. I encourage. And I leave the rest to God. So I let go because he's holding on. John 10:28. And I give unto them, Jesus says, what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. The day you recognize that you're in the hands of Jesus, not your own hands, you're not in control. Look at me. You can stop with the fear. But if you think you have to hold, this is your life, nervous wreck, trying to control everything. He says, no man can pluck them out of my... Then look at verse 29. He continues. He says, never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than what? Everything. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Let's look back to Psalm 121, please. Three very beautiful concepts. Help for the journey. But the help is not separate help. The help is the Lord. And because of who the Lord is, the one that saved you by his grace, opened your eyes, opened your ears so you could understand, gave you the ability and understanding to believe when you trusted Christ, he brings you all the way. We can sleep because God doesn't sleep. We can let go because God is holding on. He's keeping us. The third point is just adding to this. Let's read verse 7 and 8, please. Let me see if any of you recognize the same word repeated over and over. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We can sleep because God doesn't sleep. We can let go because God is holding on. Thirdly, we can keep on, meaning keep on moving on. We can keep on the journey because he keeps us. He preserves us. Now, friends, you probably want to just write this or circle this or something. The King James does something. It's not wrong. It's perfectly okay. But you can be, this word, shamar, is used over and over in the text. The word for to keep
to guard or to watch over like a guard. Look at verse 3. It's found first, the same word, shamar. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, he that keepeth thee. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel. All of these are the root word shamar. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. Then we go to verse 7, the Lord shall, it's the same word, friends, keep thee or preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul or keep thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve or keep thy going out and thy coming in. The emphasis on the whole passage is on the Lord is our helper. We can sleep because he does it. We can let go because he holds on. We can keep on keeping on because he keeps us or preserves us. He preserves us. Pastor, what about? I'm sorry to be offensive because some of you would prefer me to say nothing, to be a 30-minute sermon that says nothing every week. I'm not that guy. Look at me. The what about stuff is what goes on in people's hearts. Look at me. You're going to have what abouts until the day you die because life is uncertain. I'm going to say one thing about that. There are no what abouts to God. God in heaven's not going, oh, what about? What about? That's not the God we know, friends. We can keep on keeping on, if you prefer theological language. We can persevere because he perseveres. We can move forward because he keeps moving forward with us. Our security is in him, not in, what about, what, Pastor, what if I get cancer? Look at me. In this room, everybody look around. A third of us will have cancer or more before we die. Get over it. And a third of us will have other problems. Get over it. There's no what about. Oh, all of this stuff needs to cease. Do you not know the Lord? Friends, if you know the Lord, this is what you know. We can sleep because he never sleeps. We can let go. Quit trying to control the universe. And then, and by the way, and those kind of folks have problems with other people that don't like them controlling them, of course. But you don't have to do that because he's holding on. We can move on, keep moving, keep on keeping on. Why? Because he keeps us. By the way, shamar is found, what, 6 times in this text alone? I think he's given you the impression that you say, what's going to happen? Pastor, what about, what if this, what? Oh, my goodness. The only thing I want to know is, does he know me and do I know him? Is he my Savior? And if he's my Savior, I think everything else is going to be good. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you. Paul is saying, you know what my confidence is? My confidence, Philippian church, is not you, because people do stupid things. My confidence is him, because if he has started a good work in you, he's going to continue that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. The one that started this work in you, it will continue that work and will finish that work. Our hope, our security is in the Lord. So I'm done. Here it is. Can you have it? By the way, I still see women. 2 women in this church have never, not here anymore, could never sleep. And going to blame it on everything under the sun. And both women, good luck on trying to control the universe. Look at me. Do you know the sovereign God? Yes or no? If you do, we can rest because he's not taking a nap. We can let go. Move, because he's holding on. We can keep on following the Lord until the last moment we step on the other side or he meets us in the air. Why? Because he's keeping us. That's help for the journey. Father, thank you for this time. Bless your word. Oh, this seems simple. Is this too simple, Lord? Is it too simple to think that if we have God, we have everything, and if we don't have God, we have nothing? Is it too simple to believe, Lord, that if the sovereign God has saved us and keeps us, we can actually let go of trying to control the universe? Is it too simple to just think we can keep moving forward for the Lord simply because you keep us? I think the psalmist was pretty clear. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Seal these truths in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name.